6 o'clock on Wednesday, July 18th. It is good to have you in for another podcast episode. It's good to have my friend back, Dr. Andrea Mata from the University of Findlay, at least when she goes back to school in the fall, right?
Absolutely.
When do you start school?
The first day of classes is August 20th, but we start like meetings and stuff on August 14th.
You're the official mental health professional of the show and podcast.
Oh, wow.
I should get you something for that.
Like, I don't need anything. I'm not big onto status symbols.
I'll bring Cohen to the library with the kids one day for you.
Yes.
We need something to do on Friday.
You got this anything? Friday?
Yeah.
BG has, in the city park, they have lunch in the park. And so there might be like, I don't know if there's food you can purchase, so maybe food trucks, and then there's some kind of musician playing.
Okay.
So my parents and I might take the toddlers down to the park. It's supposed to be a nice day, I think.
No.
It's not?
No.
Oh.
Not like today.
Oh. Is it supposed to rain?
Yeah. Have you been to the Trigger Meals guy yet?
No, I haven't. Isn't he at
Ziggy's
now? I saw that.
Okay. Have you seen the pictures of his food?
I've seen some of the pictures that you have posted of his food.
Okay. I mean,
but I have not had it yet.
It looks
Is
really
it delicious?
Good.
Have you had it?
I haven't had it. And the kid who lives in BG, who I use as my official social media blocker, when I need someone blocked,
okay,
I have him do it. He keeps hassling me to get there, but
why don't you just block it yourself?
It's just a little thing. It's a thing that we do. It's, you know, us kids in the... Wait, I'm older.
What kind of food does he make?
Greasy food. Like tonight, I think it's...
Oh, is it just one kind?
No. Well, I mean, it's all like gluttonous, fattening, cheat meal things.
Okay.
But I believe tonight's are the thing that... Steak and cheese egg rolls with steak fried rice.
Oh.
Yeah. But unless this thing on Friday has kid-friendly stuff... It might not work.
I think it is. It's just a park and they can just run around. I can look more into it, but it's tailored to kids.
Okay, let me know.
Because it was in like our little newsletter that they sent out, and it's supposed to be family friendly. So.
Okay.
Because we'll probably take the toddlers to Pizza Palooza on Sunday.
Sunday. Have you ever been?
I have. We went 2 years ago, I think. When I was pregnant yet again. So 2 years ago we went, and then we didn't go last year because I think other stuff has going on, and then we're going back, I think, on Sunday.
I think I told my friends at Mom, you want to help? Perfect.
Okay.
I you know what? We'll come back to the other topic that I wanted to ask you about, and we'll dive into the mental health stuff, area of expertise. But we'll start with this. So I told the guy who I'm quite friendly with, or friendly enough with, who owns the Mama Mary's, the pizza place. I think he put out a call for some hands to help out. And I was like, I messaged him. I was like, hey, you need a hand on Friday night? He said, just, you know, make sure I can get in, and I'd be happy to, you know, whatever, take tickets, hand slices.
Is it Friday and Saturday, or is it Saturday, Sunday?
I think it's Friday, Saturday. Might have to talk to Big Jim. In the last several years that I've been around it's been the hottest days of the year.
It has been.
Maybe it's not the best time of year to have Pizza Palooza, like eating hot food in the... And there's no shade there.
No, not at all.
At Centennial
Terrace.
It is
Friday, Saturday. Okay. Saturday. Yep, I was wrong.
So you'll have to rearrange plans.
So maybe Friday we do Pizza Palooza, and then Saturday we have a Mexican feast coming.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him that I'll happily come help out. And then there was like a Facebook 911 on my page over the weekend, so much so that I needed to tend to it. It was because of what that idiot lady wrote. Did you see that?
No, I was remember I was on vacation for a week, so no social media. Well, not that I do social media a lot, but
we'll come back to that. I want to know about your vacation.
Kay.
She said the N-word. She wrote Hail Trump.
And on your Facebook?
No.
Oh.
It was somewhere in Toledo. And someone videotaped her doing it. So that helped the police catch her several hours later. And it was right down the street from like Toledo's African American parade. And it went into the cesspool you could imagine on my Facebook page. And one of the people who was on the opposing side of my viewpoint is the brother of the guy that I'm quite friendly with at Mama Mary's.
Does he have any affiliation with Mama Mary's?
Yes. He is like handles day-to-day stuff.
Oh.
But today he posted like an Optimus Prime Transformers Mama Mary's thing on my page, and it's either him arguing ideologies with my friends or him posting that stuff. So what should I do? I withdraw my volunteer to help because of him, or do I?
No.
Okay.
Because you're still friends with the other guy. Why punish the other guy? Because of this other... And you have to keep in mind, like, yeah, this guy might have, you know, viewpoints that you don't agree with, but that's just one part of him. That doesn't make the whole a part of him.
But isn't it mostly part of us?
No.
Like, these are deep social beliefs.
So? That's just one part. My husband and I don't have the same political affiliations.
But I'm not talking political. I mean, because a lot of this stuff comes back to social beliefs and just simple human decency.
Right.
So I look at it, because I guess my biggest fear is like, what if this presides within the entire family? And maybe this is not a place I want to give, you know, I want to talk about so much as I do anymore.
But have you ever had that inkling from your friend that you're really close with?
No, not at all. And I'm not really close with them. It's like a good, like if I want to call him up and be like, hey, I'm looking to get some pizzas. Can you get something ready for me? Like he would do that. It's not a close friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I started here, I called him up. I was like, hey, can you get me like $100 worth of pizzas to Cumulus in an hour? He's like, I'll get on it. And he gave me like a family discount.
Right.
But his brother is hardcore oppositional to a lot of the beliefs of myself and my friends.
So viewpoints are good. Differing viewpoints are good.
But not when it gets like differing viewpoints like you and I have on certain things is healthy. This is bad internet healthy stuff.
Well, people do stupid shit on an internet all the time.
I know. And part of me wants to go and see how the face-to-face interaction will be. In fact, this thing got so out of hand, there was some breaking of bread, and I like to think when I'm not trying to incite and evoke things in people, I can, what's the word I'm looking for? Diffuse situations. And I wanted to like invite some of these people to like, hey, let's go get coffee. Let's talk about this.
Right.
So that nobody's using keyboard courage and we can, you know, maybe get on the same page.
Absolutely.
And I think I want to apply some of that to going Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night.
Come out then.
Yeah, I'll talk to Jim.
And the pizza's really, like...
I think Jim... So is Mama Mia's your favorite?
Mama Mary's.
Mama Mary's is your favorite. I think when Jim and I went 2 years ago, I think Mama Mary's was also his favorite.
It's because it's, like, legitimately East Coast pizza.
Okay.
The slices are big. The dough, you get some of the flour on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to replicate it because so much of what makes East Coast food what it is, at least bread-based stuff, is because of the water and the way the bread is made.
Right.
You just can't do that here.
Mm-hmm.
But when there are other restaurants, like maybe ones that I live next to, that claim East Coast pizza, it doesn't hold a candle to Mama
Mary's. Well, the same thing with the place that's downtown in Toledo that has like the deep dish Chicago style.
Pizzapopolis?
That's not Chicago style pizza. That is not Chicago style pizza. As a Chicagoan, that is not pizza. That's not Chicago style pizza.
Lindsay wanted to go there. Mm-hmm. We went.
Okay.
And it is what it is, but I never realized how bland that crust is. Like, spice it up.
Exactly.
It's like a pie.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So, have you ever been to Giordano's in Chicago?
Nope.
See, you need to go to Giordano's in Chicago.
What's the difference between Pizzapopolis and real Chicago pizza?
It doesn't have any flavor. You just said
there's that. I mean, the internal part of the pizza is good. The crust is just like a bakery shell.
I can't remember because Jim and I went maybe 3 years ago to Pizzapopolis, and I just did not. I was like, this is not good. So we just never went back.
There was a place, and I think I don't know if they're still open, but there was a place that opened back my way on the East Coast that was supposedly. Maybe they just go Chicago style. Mm-hmm. Whatever wordplay. The Pizzeria Uno.
Yes, that's not really, I mean, that's a chain more so than like good Chicago style pizza, like deep dish.
Have you had anything that resembles Chicago pizza in this like 60 mile area? Beer Barrel. You like Beer Barrel, right?
Beer Barrel, but they don't have, I think they have something that's like a deep dish, but it wouldn't be like a Chicago style
deep
dish. there's Pisanello's in BG, and I think there's also one in Waterville that say they also have like a Chicago style, but that's not, it's not deep dish. I wouldn't call it deep dish either. So no, I haven't had it in a 60. Columbus actually has their Giordano's now.
Okay.
The big chain in Chicago, even though I just criticized chains, is becoming more of a chain, and so they just opened one in Columbus.
Okay.
And that's my favorite pizza.
We all hate when something we like goes from underground to mainstream. Mm-hmm. And it happens to restaurants, too.
Right.
Yeah, there's a place back home in Philadelphia called Chickies and Pete's.
I know Chickie and Pete's.
Apparently, was there ever like a small version of it at Cedar Point?
Yes.
Okay.
There was.
It was the strangest thing. But people would tell me and I wouldn't believe them.
The only reason why I know is because my closest friend in grad school, Crystal, she's from New Jersey. And so she's right outside Philly. And so she would talk about chicken and pizza.
Yeah, the crab fries, which is really just like, what's the...
Seasoned.
What's the crab? Not that crab. It starts with a B. The seasoning. B. It's going to... I'll see it when
You'll
I go.
Think
I have it when I go home. It's like loaded with so much sodium. But that's like the secret and the melted cheese.
Right.
But like... There was only like two or three locations back home, and mm-hmm. now because they got so big, they're everywhere.
Right.
Now, just like people here, I guess, would like to have Raisin Cane's.
Yes, Raisin Cane's is delicious.
And it's a chain, right?
Yes. I think it started in Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Or somewhere around there.
But yeah, it's good.
Let's keep going with food. What's your Mexican feast on Saturday?
So my... One of my colleagues at the university, her husband is Mexican. And so when we were out celebrating... something a few months ago, her husband and I were like, well, let's get, you know, my dad, who's Mexican, and her, you know, her husband together, and they can cook, you know, they can hang out, they can speak Spanish, they can, you know, be comfortable because it's just two Mexican guys in the kitchen cooking, doing what they love. And so we're going to get together some other colleagues of ours, and then my dad and her husband are going to cook a Mexican feast.
So you got a couple of Mexican guys coming to cook for a bunch of white people, right?
Yes.
Basically. Okay.
Well, not technically, because so there'll be, you know, Eliseo, who's Mexican, and then my dad, Fidel, who's Mexican, and then I'm half Mexican, and then Connor and Charlotte are quarter Mexican.
Quarter, but you don't look a lick.
Neither does my dad.
What's his name?
Fidel.
Fidel at least sounds Spanish.
But Andrea, if you say my name correctly, is the Mexican pronunciation.
Fair enough.
Well, it's funny. Yesterday, we're having our roof redone, and so one of my friends who's redoing our roof, he came and he met my dad for the first time yesterday, and he looks at me and goes, "Your dad's accent is still thick." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, he lived in Mexico for 22 years, and then he migrated or immigrated here," and he was like, "Mexico? I thought he was Italian."
Oh, geez. People in our area are fairly ignorant and naive to. Different colors and ethnicities of people.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and my dad looks exactly like... I look exactly like my dad.
Same, like, tone of skin?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't tan, right? You burn.
No, I tan.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Lucky you.
I burn and then I'll tan.
Well, that's all of us.
Yeah.
But some people are just... Like Lindsay, who... Her last name, if you look at... It ends in a vowel. It ends A-L-E.
Okay.
It looks and screams Italian.
Okay.
They don't pronounce it in the Italian way.
Oh.
It's very Ohio of them.
Gotcha. Yes. Oh, God. Ohioans.
You said it. I always think it's like, what did you say the pizza place was in BG next to Clazelle?
Pisanello's.
It should be Pisanello's, right?
But it's called Pisanello's.
I know.
Well, the same thing, like when I was in Cleveland, they would say, they wouldn't say Carnegie Hall.
Carnegie?
They'd say Carnegie. And I'm like, it's Carnegie Hall.
Right. Yeah.
And so Jim and I have gotten onto lots of conversations about words that Ohioans say very funny.
We could do a whole podcast. Bring Jim in for that. Because I love, and I know people, Lindsay nails me because Lindsay's around me all the time now. Mm-hmm. So she picks out my words all the time.
Right.
But I would like to do that.
Yeah.
That'll be Jim's debut.
That can be Jim's debut. I'll see if he wants to come on.
Lindsay gets super, like, her Italian heritage, I guess, allows her to have that immediately olive and tan skin when she's out.
Okay.
Like, meanwhile, I'm red. How was your vacation? Where did you go?
We went to North Carolina, to a lake in North Carolina.
That's it?
Yeah.
You didn't want to say any more?
No, because I don't want people to know, like, where we go.
Where the rich University of Findlay professor goes with her Rich family.
Stop it.
You had a good time?
Yes, it was a good time.
Did the kids enjoy it?
Yes. So we rented a house on a lake, and then we rented a boat, and then we had access to another boat through Jim's aunt and uncle. They own a boat.
This is very rich people stuff. No, we just tested out the Taco Bells and the McDonald's. And
So the kids played, and so my mother-in-law bought them like a little blow-up pool to put on the deck of the house that we were staying at because there wasn't any yard. And so she made a little pool, or she got a little pool, and they played in that, and then we'd take them swimming, but they weren't really comfortable in swimming yet, so because they have to always have life jackets on.
Right.
And the lake is really, really deep, and so there's no spot that neither Jim nor I can touch, so we both have to, every time that we're holding them with life jackets on, we have to be treading water.
Right.
So it was fun.
You were a swimmer, right?
Taught
swim or coached swim?
I taught swimming lessons.
Okay.
Because I was a water safety instructor because I was a lifeguard for 5 years.
Okay.
And then I was a pity swimmer at Valpo my senior year.
What's a pity swimmer?
Well, so at Valpo my senior year, so they hired a new coach, I want to say like maybe my junior year, and he upset the team so badly that essentially half the team quit on him. And so there was only, I want to say, 5 female swimmers.
Okay.
And you need more than 5 female swimmers to swim. And so 2 of my friends were seniors who were on the swim team. And they're like, "Hey, Andrea, like, you know how to swim. Like, want to come and swim at competitions with us?" And I was like, "I don't know how to jump off a block." And they're like, "We'll teach you." So they spent, you know, a few hours teaching me how to dive off the block and do a starting block and do flip turns. And
how'd you do?
I never competed because the one time that they needed me, I had an interview for grad school.
Worked out well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the funny thing is I still get emails from Valpo's like swimming program saying like, "You're an alumni, like come back for alumni events." And I'm like, I wasn't really alumni.
That's you like achieved the dream of getting called up from the intramural
I know,
team,
right?
To the varsity. Okay, the things I wanted to dig into.
Okay.
Let's see. Do you want to start, since we just talked about sports, let's start with the sports thing. Did you read the
article? I did.
All right, so
I read a few articles on that.
Last semester, you taught sports psychology.
Yep.
I know every time we tried to connect, you said you were backed up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you complete everything you needed to?
We did. We were able to kind of condense some of the classes together, and then I think there was one topic that we didn't cover, but we just kind of threw it out.
What were some of the topics that you covered in that course?
So we talk about goal setting, concentration, relaxation, choking, burnout.
Choking. Not like physically choking someone, but like you missed 2 free throws when your team was down 1.
It's more complicated than that. So it'd be like if...
Wait, hold on. I was just trying to give a simple example, not dive into the syllabus.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you.
Choking is much more complicated than that. But it was essentially, the bottom line is when a player is supposed to do a heck of a lot better than they actually do. And then because of stuff that's going on in their mind, they do not perform nearly as well.
When I hear the word choking, when I'm listening to sports talk radio, just as when I hear like the Pete Rose discussion, I immediately click away.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It is so much more nuanced. And I'm sure these are all things that you talked about during the class.
Yeah. And there's a 20 minute clip. I want to say from the night, was it the 1999? The 1999 French Open, where one of the golfers just completely.
What? There's no French Open in golf.
It was one of the... Well, I got confused with the Wimbledon. But it was one of the...
Wimbledon is tennis.
I know. There's a French Open in Wimbledon. Or not the Wimbledon, in tennis.
In tennis, correct. Wait, which sport are we talking about? Tennis?
So no, golf.
Golf.
So a golfer.
Golfer.
He was leading the pack. And then all of a sudden, he was up by like 6 strokes. And then all of a sudden, he just...
You can go down in flames fast in golf.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like there's less accusations of golf, maybe because that audience, those fans are a little bit more cultured or tried to be.
Right.
Or because people who know it, play it, and they have been in those situations where before you know it, do you know what a snowman is?
No.
That's an 8. That's you don't want to shoot eight. Right. They just tell you to move on.
Mm-hmm.
They know that that can happen.
Well, like the video that we show is like 20 minutes long, and the students can just see from the start, and like you can see the audience's responses, and even his wife's is just shaking his head because you're like, what are you doing? And he's just making really, really poor choices. So it's highly entertaining to watch. But
did you talk about any kind of thing that we'll talk about here in a second, like bullying or mentoring?
We talk about team dynamics,
okay,
team cohesion, and we talk about like leadership,
okay,
and how people have different leadership styles and coaching styles.
So to get into this story that happened a couple of weeks ago, I think, and I hope for the most part, the hardcore hazing, mm-hmm, where people get tied to goalposts and get peed on and other inhumane things, I think most of that is out of all levels of sports.
Unless it goes completely hidden.
Right.
Because if you are caught with it, like, you are in some severe trouble.
You hear about, like, some kids who get, like there's sexual assault,
right,
things involved. But I think now there's always some people who get a little sensitive with this subject. But I think for the most part, players enjoy the dress-up events for rookies and things like, mm-hmm, that, because it's playful, it's fun, and I guess it plays into chemistry, yeah, and that can be debated. But what happened with the St. Louis Cardinals was you have a veteran pitcher. I don't
a
know
reliever.
What. A veteran reliever.
Both relievers.
I'm going to keep this as general as I possibly can.
Okay.
As generally as I possibly. So there was a veteran reliever or a pitcher who's been in the league for about 10 years. His name is Bud Norris. There is a rookie pitcher, I'll say this, he throws 105 miles an hour, he's a young player. And
21.
Norris, who's probably about like 31, 32,
yeah,
has taken Hicks under his wing in a mentorship role to more prepare him for his role on the team, and his tactics can get skewed in many different shades with many different adjectives, everything from mentoring to hazing to bullying to teasing. And ultimately, I think that was one of the things that led into the St. Louis Cardinals manager being fired over the weekend, which was surprising. But then people put everything together and said this is a manager who didn't necessarily connect with this generation of players. We can come back to that. But you read up on the Norris and Hicks situation. Mm-hmm. What was your takeaway with it?
My thing was that, so the original article that came, I think, out in the Atlantic, was that it?
It could have been.
That by like David Saxon or something like that. And he wrote this article kind of, and it was very broad, non-specific terms. He kept like saying like mercilessly, you know, picks on or hazes or something like that. Hicks. But then like when I read another article, the article that you sent me from the Bleacher Report?
Could have been.
So the Bleacher Report one, they started to dive into like what does mercilessly riding look like? And it was like Hicks has a history. So the young guy has a history of showing up late for things,
mm-hmm,
and not acting how a major leaguer should act. So talking out of turn, not being professional, showing up to, you know, to the ballpark in shorts, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so from my take of this other article that I was reading, it seems like Norris is just kind of setting standards of like, hey, we show up on time, we don't talk out of turn, and you act appropriately. So my thing was, it just seems like he was kind of, yeah, he was putting him in his place, but any good leader or mentor is going to put you in your place.
I guess it just depends on the tactics, mm-hmm, and the methods. And I didn't read many more details than that. I just kept coming across certain adjectives. And I think we've talked about this briefly before, but I don't think we can ever talk about bullying enough, because we throw that word around so flippantly these days. And I think when we've discussed it, it's about the intent of the bully,
mm-hmm,
and let's leave aside like what could be wrong with the bully at this point, because if the intent is, I mean, you explain it to me, because there seems to be such a narrow line between trying to mentor someone and turn them into a professional so that they themselves can succeed at what they're trying to, and or just being a prick,
right?
And who decides that?
Exactly. And the thing I think that was coming up with the Norris Hicks situation, and they kept writing, again, in multiple articles that I was reading, they kept writing the idea of, like, Hicks doesn't appreciate what Norris is doing or doesn't like what Norris is doing. And it always comes back to this idea of, like, who enjoys, like, to be put in their place, or who likes to be corrected. But at the end of the day, I would much rather someone look at me and say, like, hey, we don't do that here, or let's act this way instead of this way.
And it probably wasn't that delicate.
Right. Right, and it might not have been delicate, and to me, that's okay.
That is genuinely locker room talk.
Correct.
Like, he possibly got called the P word.
Right, exactly. And so it's the idea, and you're not going to like that. But in the next few years, is he going to look back on it and be like, yeah, I probably did need to be. I'm a 21-year-old. I probably did need to, you know, someone to kind of show me the ropes.
To make an example that might correlate with this, you as a professor, as a teacher, those kids don't like, we don't like being tested. We don't like taking tests, but it's to show that you're ready to advance.
Mm-hmm. It's to show that you have some kind of knowledge. And so students, right now there's a big debate in higher ed about, like, whether or not you should actually test and whether or not you should actually assess. Because it's the idea of everything that... So testing is supposed to how much information have you retained, but everyone's, you know, argument is, oh, well, they can just look it up on Google. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, I tend to be more old school, is if you're in a meeting, you can't just look something up on Google. Or if you're in a therapy session with somebody, like highly effective therapist isn't going to be like, hold on, stop crying for 2 seconds,
right,
and let me Google what I'm supposed to do with you next.
And maybe more broadly than that, the way Barry always explained the mm-hmm. shit that I didn't want to learn in school was, you're never going to need it, but this will help you develop your mind so that you can critically think to get the
right
answers.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, you can't come up with a solid argument without having some kind of knowledge.
So, can't... So someone could be teasing someone
mm-hmm.
or mentoring, coaching, testing, challenging them, and the other person could say that they're being bullied.
Correct. Absolutely. It happens all the time.
And then shit goes sideways.
Yeah.
How do we approach these situations? Because 9 out of 10 people might go, that person is not being bullied, but it's the way they're embracing it, they're accepting it. So what do we do?
So with that situation, I would say that, like, the individual, if everyone around them is saying this person's not being bullied, I would say that it's probably up to that person who feels like they are being bullied this was probably not the first time that they thought that they were being bullied. There's probably been lots of instances in their lives where they have felt like they have been bullied. So it might be time for them to seek out a mental health professional to figure out, why do they always feel like people are picking on them, or why do they always feel like they are being bullied?
I feel in many ways like this could be similar to the sexual assault discussion.
Yes.
It's word against word, and mm-hmm. I don't even want to go into details because I don't want people to think one thing or the other. But this could be similar, because as we just illustrated, whenever someone screams, I've been bullied, we immediately go after the bully.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody stops and says, wait a second.
There's no due process.
There isn't. No. I mean, it's arguably more of a witch hunt than, in many cases, sexual assault.
Right.
We always go after... I can't think of a situation where it's been, hold on a second, this was some mild, you know, jovial, good-natured teasing. This person, for whatever reason, took it the wrong... They were not being bullied. But then it comes about with, you know, society dictating things as opposed to the individual.
Right.
And we know how we like to become lynch mobs. It's a very complicated situation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And I think it's become more and more of an issue ever since probably... Because bullying wasn't that big of a thing, like, when you and I were... I mean, it was something that we talked about, but it wasn't as big of a thing that it is now.
And I want to come back to exactly that, people large and others.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a hot button. Like, if there's a word bully in schools, ring the fire alarms.
Right.
And if, for whatever reason, principals or counselors don't address it, parents can go. Parents seemingly go nuclear.
Right.
And I, like when I go to Lucas County suicide prevention meetings, a lot of the kid ambassadors, the student ambassadors were there last time, mm-hmm. and they were talking about it. And I just all these questions going in my head, like, well, what if these people, who I get it, they're overwhelmed, but let's say that they're not. Let's say they went through the due diligence and thought that it wasn't bullying. But if the parent hears from the kid, it's a different, it's impossible.
It is impossible because lots of parents are going to automatically side with their child. And they're, because their emotions are into it, and they're not objective. Parents, I say this as a parent, parents are not objective on their own child's behavior. And so the parents are going to automatically assume that their child is being bullied. And a lot of, not a lot of the time, but a good portion of the time in my, when I used to previously do therapy and kids would say, oh, parents would be like, oh, my child's being bullied. I would go then into the school and do some investigation, and then it turned out that that child was not being bullied. That child was the bully.
Or even if you walk it back the other way, we can go back to something we've talked mm-hmm. about before. You can say to the parents, well, I've investigated this, and it really appears that you didn't teach your kid any coping skills.
Correct.
Maybe they shouldn't have gotten a trophy for finishing lap. I mean, it's part of the discussion.
Absolutely.
You might like this. I tease Cohen, okay. And depending on Lindsay's mood, she either thinks I'm being mean or being playful. And I get that, just like you just talked about, parents are not objective. Sometimes, like, I think I put him outside in the hallway last week and closed the door on him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just playing. He has cried sometimes. He's a five-year-old. I get it.
Right.
So, because I like to think that I'm kind of emotionally aware, know what mm-hmm. I'm dealing with, and I care about him. He was over playing video games one day when I was watching him. I said, Cohen, put down the game for a second and come over here. I said, I just want you to know, regardless of whatever, you know, we do, if we're playing around, whatever, I care about you and I never want to hurt your feelings. Do you know that? And he said, yes, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to set a boundary.
Right.
Like, if I hold you upside down and swing you around the room, I'm not doing it to be a dick.
It's because you're roughhousing with him.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Like yesterday, or Jim usually roughhouses with the kids after dinner. And so yesterday, Jim was exhausted from stuff, and so he was just laying on the couch after it, and then Connor decided that he was going to, like, go head first off the couch. And I was sitting on the recliner, so I couldn't catch him, and so he landed on his head, and then he flipped over, and he just started laughing. And, like, I was like, ugh, and Jim was like, eh. And then Connor did it again. And so then I got down, and I started to help him somersault, because I didn't want him to have a traumatic brain injury. It's a difference in parenting. It's a difference in gender. There's differences in gender.
Yeah, and I don't like how those genders, how people, certain places are trying to push these things together. I kind of like the fact that we're different.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's okay. I like it too.
I think
we should continue to have differences.
The really mundane example I use is, I hope that toy stores, like Target,
mm-hmm.
never combine. Like, I like the pink for mm-hmm. the girls and the cars. Like, leave it like that.
Right.
Kids should be different. But gender should be different.
Yeah, because they're biologically different.
Right.
Whether we like to admit it or not, they are different. Connor and Charlotte have been completely different out of the womb.
But we get caught up in the broadness, the generalities of we should be equal. And I get it.
Right.
You know, women have been held down for a long time.
But now men are being held down.
Right.
I'm reading a whole book on it right now.
We could... Oh, we have to get to that. But one more thing on the bullying thing. We grew up in a different... I think we were probably both bullied. Is there ever a time... And I'm not talking about, like, you got the shit kicked out of you. No. You have to go to the hospital.
Mm-mm.
You were bullied. It happens. Kids are mean.
Yeah.
Bullying can be good, right?
Yeah, I mean...
There can be good that arises from it.
I think so. Because think about the number of people... What percentage of people have been... I won't say bully. But how many people have been teased? How many people have been harassed? And if if you would go and say, like, not use the word bully, but how many people, like, have been called names or have been harassed...
Challenged.
Or challenged, something along those. It would probably be close to, if not 100%.
And I bet if... Maybe you stumbled across some of this when you were doing whatever preparation for the sports psychology class. I'm sure every athlete has a story of where they were bullied or told they weren't. One of Michael Jordan's driving things was that he did not make the freshman.
He didn't make the varsity team as a freshman.
Right. Considering the greatest basketball player to ever walk the earth. Mm-hmm. Everybody shut up.
Right. I know.
And Michael Jordan has arguably maintained his greatness off of perceived or actual slights,
right,
which could be deemed bullying. So it's a way of overcoming adversity and bettering yourself.
And people will even say now that, oh, Jordan's, you know, a huge, you know, dick.
He is an asshole.
And it's like,
he did beat up Steve Kerr. He took it too far.
Right. But yeah, so, I mean, the thing is, it's like, it's more coping skills.
When I go to some of these meetings or when I'm around places and I hear parents and things wanting to prevent bullying.
No, it doesn't work. No. Like, school systems are starting to learn, like,
good,
zero tolerance programs, they don't work. And I've been saying it for years that zero tolerance programs don't work. Like, you need to start teaching kids coping skills.
Yeah, yeah. And I forget the instances where I've heard and I've either said or at least thought, like, mm-hmm, you just got to suck it up and deal with it.
Right.
And I know that's a very uneducated, unprofessional way of going, like trying to
create coping skills,
mm-hmm, but you just got to do it.
Absolutely. Because here's the thing. It's like, my stance is no environment is going to, every environment that you're in, you're going to have to adapt to that environment.
Mm-hmm.
Not every single environment that you ever find yourself in is going to adapt to you. And therefore, you need to learn how to adapt to the environments that you put yourself in.
Yeah. And if it's not a to your point, if it's not a person challenging you in whatever way, it will be a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very pessimistic now about how, where we may be trending and how it's tough.
Don't get me
started. I know.
You and Big Jim and I could have like hour-long conversations about this and how we're afraid of where.
Well, I feel like the three of us would be on the same page and we could get together and just
else.
Like, we could do a lot of finger pointing at like groups of people.
Absolutely.
Environment. Mm-hmm. You talk about like stress and workplaces and things like that. Did you finish the Johann Hari book?
I have not started it yet.
Really?
Because I'm still on the boy crisis.
Okay.
Because it's like 400 pages.
Do you want to give me some... I've stopped reading it.
The Johann Hari?
I
haven't started it yet.
I know. But you seemed like kind of eager to hop in with some thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic premise of it is he's very anti-medication,
mm-hmm,
and just reevaluate your environment. One of the takeaway phrases I've grabbed from it or made up was, before you go altering your brain chemistry, think about altering your environmental chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Look what's going on around you that you can work on, so
right,
that you don't have to resort to, you know, an overly medicated world.
Absolutely.
So, and I know you've always skewed towards environment being the cause, not necessarily brain chemical. Like, he doesn't believe in chemical imbalance.
Right. And like, that's the thing. So when I was a junior in high school and I was trying to decide, junior, senior in high school, and I was trying to decide whether or not I wanted to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist, even then I was like, I want to go and become a psychologist. I don't want to become a psychiatrist because I don't want to prescribe kids medication. Like, I think that they're already overdiagnosed as it is. I don't want that responsibility. I don't want that privilege. I just want to change people's environments. And so I've always kind of been strongly environmental. But I don't discount that there are some disorders that need medication.
Did you listen to my podcast about me?
The one that you just did yesterday?
No. About this.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like...
The book report,
yeah. And I it was enlightening to me, and it allowed me to shift how I consumed the book, knowing,
mm-hmm,
he was very adamant against chemical imbalances. You're not born with this stuff, or if you are, everything else makes it manifest. Don't worry about medications. Whereas I stumbled onto a new medication without seeking a specific remedy, and
right,
it gave me something I didn't even know, and it helped me with something I didn't even know I was dealing with.
Right.
So therefore, environment is key to work on, but you really might need medication too. They work together really well for the right people.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And that's so there's a list of empirically supported treatments for psychological disorders. And in that, it talks about, okay, when medication and therapy combined are the best treatment option versus when is therapy only the best treatment option versus when is medication only the best medication or therapy option.
Which leads me to something else that I didn't tell you we were going to talk about.
Okay.
But a woman has brought it up to me several times when I've posted mental health stuff on social. She had mentioned getting DNA tests to match up your mind with medications. Is there any efficacy to this?
I would say, I haven't heard anything, but I would say that it would probably be way too brand new.
Okay. Okay.
But I mean, I think I've heard maybe something going into it, but I think it would be pretty too new to.
It sounds like the kind of thing where, sure, you can get your DNA tested to see what type of cancer you'll get at 67, right. Which sounds futuristic,
mm-hmm.
and will probably be there long before you and I are gone.
Right.
But it's probably too new to put a lot of faith into.
Mm-hmm. Because I started to see people talk about if you get your DNA tested, then you can figure out what antidepressant will work for you.
That's what this was. Yeah, that's what she was talking about.
Or you can just change your environment. Or you can take all this time and effort and money that you are putting into investigating medication in the DNA test, and you can go see a really good therapist and change your environment.
And if it's $49.99,
mm-hmm.
That probably doesn't seem legit. And like you said, if it were $499.99, you could put that money elsewhere.
Right. Exactly.
So, okay.
But I'm always going to be an advocate I'm a therapist.
Get better.
I'm a psychologist.
Like I've said before, if you have to wipe peanut butter on the corner of your nose to get through the day and it makes you feel better,
okay.
Do it.
Right. Exactly.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Show type stuff now.
Okay.
I know you were offline last week, but did you follow the Build-A-Bear stuff?
I did not. I heard something about it on your...
Do I have to give you this?
Odd Pod, yeah.
Okay.
Because I think you and Deja started talking about...
Yep, Floyd.
Started talking about Infinity War, and so I turned you down.
Fine.
Because I was like, I still haven't seen it yet. Stop spoiling it. I already know one of the key people, whatever, but because of you. And then I ruined it for Jim, which he was not happy about.
Anyway, Build-A-Bear.
Big spoiler.
So last week, and I asked you this specifically, okay. I wouldn't bother you on vacation, but I had so much stuff to run by you. You, as the mother of two-year-olds, right?
Yep, they're about you, yeah.
Would definitely take advantage of this, and they'd probably love it.
Okay.
Build-A-Bear had a pay your age day.
Oh.
And for people like you and I,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't pay more than $29. I guess there was... I don't know how many people. There was a six-hour wait at Franklin Park Mall.
Oh, my goodness.
They opened up at 8:30. You were allowed to line up at 8:30. They opened up at 9. I think nationally, Build-A-Bear shut the promotion down everywhere at 11 a.m. because the locations only had a couple of thousand.
Right.
Who would you do this?
No.
And they weren't even, limited. If they were limited, go get in line. But, you could have gone Saturday.
Was it, a specific bear, or could you choose
nope.
your own bear?
You were doing the same thing that you do on a Saturday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but you pay your age. So, for Connor and Charlotte, they would have gotten two $2 bears.
No. Not for 6 hours.
Right. Or an hour? Would you have waited in line an hour for that?
Not with two-year-olds.
Right.
No. I will pay... $30 for a Build-A-Bear.
Right. Are you like me? And I guess it's different depending on how fussy your kids are. I would rather pay extra for convenience.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one time on vacation that we tried to go out, and there was a big group of us. There was 9 adults and 2 toddlers. And then, so we had the 2 toddlers, and then we also had a 90-year-old woman. So we had the spectrum.
Wide range, yeah.
Absolutely. And so there was 9 adults and 2 toddlers, and so we decided to go out to dinner one night. And then it was this really, place. It was right on the river, and so the kids were just essentially And at this point, the kid, and it was later than we usually eat for dinner, so the kids were like, we're just going to go play. And so they're just running around the park and stuff like that. And so I was like, but this place also, because it's in the South, so things move slower mm-hmm. in the South.
Yes, they do.
And so I was like, I'm just going to take the kids and we're going to play. And my sister-in-law helped me a lot. So we just went and played. And then I was like, no, I would have totally just tapped, like, let's cater something in.
Right.
So that, you know, it's easier.
Did you hear Sarah was on last week?
I love Sarah.
People like that. Mm-hmm. Sarah would always talk about, and I think we talked about it last week, it's an investment in your marriage. Mm-hmm. I look at things that I do with Cohen and discretionary income that it's kind of discretionary. I really shouldn't be spending as much as I am. But when I buy
Barry him, will be happy that you said that.
He could never get to this podcast. Not no
I'm gonna
shot
send it to Barry.
In hell. I look at things that I buy him and like they're an investment in like teaching him and mm-hmm. perhaps even blackmailing and bribing him.
Right.
And I know that's probably how parents intuitively think, but that's how like I look at it as like a new parent type of person. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes it's easier to buy the damn toy rather than deal with the screaming. I mean, sometimes.
Yeah. I think it with Jim and I, we just tried to make it so that the kids, like, we time things out. Because our kids are pretty predictable. Mm-hmm. As long as they are fed and they are well slept and they're not too hot, they're okay. They're going to behave pretty well. And they can, you know, and as long as you're giving them, you know, toys and stuff like that to play with, then they're going to sit there and be good for you. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they're not, you know, it's later than they expect or they're tired or whatever. Then
Cohen's unpredictable.
Oh, really?
He's like a woman. Oh. I say that it's cliche, but no. We go to the splash pad the other day.
Right.
Super excited to go to the splash pad. He is all about riding his bike that I bought him 4 months ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's on that. He was sitting on it in my living room watching TV with his helmet on.
Well, yeah, that's what kids do.
But he didn't touch it for like months.
So?
But now he's all into it.
Yeah.
We ride to the splash pad. Mm-hmm. The splash pad is his playground. There is no one else there. It is not too hot. It's all him. After 10 minutes, I want to go. What? And he's never done that before. Totally unpredictable. We didn't have plans for anything else.
Well, did you bring him other toys to play with at the splash pad?
No. Well, he doesn't even like getting half of his body wet. But he loves the splash pad. But he just comes over to me as I'm like... Like, I put all of his stuff aside. Mm-hmm. I rounded up, like, the sunblock and everything and pushed it. I'm relaxing, settling in, going to check some emails or whatever. I'm ready to go. What do you mean you're ready to go? How about you just put your towel on, dry off, sit down for a couple of minutes, see if you don't want to go back in? He's just very unpredictable.
There's no one else there. You weren't playing with him.
He's not super... Like, he can entertain himself, though. I was just very surprised. So.
But there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, if he's only likes to get half his body wet, then a splash pad. He's not going to. A 5-year-old's not going to entertain himself at a splash pad.
He can.
With no toys.
He can.
Has he done it before?
Yeah.
Well, then he just was having an off day.
Let me give you another story. It was Sunday night, I think. He's not taken a shower before.
Okay.
Until Sunday night.
Did he decide he wanted to take a shower, or
nope.
Did Eric Chase decide he wanted?
I decided that I should pay Lindsay an admission fee to sit and listen to that Jack Nicholson scary hotel screaming that was coming out of that bathroom. It was incredible.
Wait, who decided that he should take a
Lindsay
shower?
Lindsay did. He needed to be clean. Like, they were staying over for like an extended period of time, uh-huh. And he was out running around. Right, he was like 3 germs away from being a disease of stench. So Lindsay did close and lock the door because I looked in and you thought that kid would have lost a leg.
Do you only have a shower stall?
Yep, no bath.
Oh.
And he might have taken a shower before, but it couldn't have been more than a couple of times. And I got a drink. I sat outside the bathroom door and I just listened to the wailing. You would have thought he was in there being murdered. And Diddy has been ultra protective of Cohen. He bit Lindsay the other day.
Right. I was listening to that on the podcast. I actually text messaged my father-in-law and asked him questions to help you out.
Any feedback would be helpful.
I will.
I was sitting at the door to get as close as I possibly could to this murder scene that I heard going on. But I also wanted to make sure that Diddy wasn't going to go barreling through the door to save Cohen. But it was incredible.
Really? For the longest time, Connor didn't like the bath either. So he would scream bloody murder.
Does he love it now?
So we figured out. So now they take baths together. And so if I leave the faucet going a little bit, then he's fine. He'll still just stand up and play in the little faucet.
He didn't like having toys or anything in there? Like, that didn't help?
No, nothing.
Is he just not a little water baby?
He's not a water baby yet. But the funny thing was, so like when we took him out onto the pontoon boat, I was in the water with him, or I was in the water, and we opened the side door, and Jim was on the boat with him, and Jim was like, jumped to mama. And he got all excited, and he just came right in. And so I, caught him, and I made sure he didn't go underwater because I knew as soon as he went underwater, it was over.
Right.
But he was fine. He was happy. And that was the first day that we took him out on the boat. But then we took him out on the boat two more times, two other days, and he was not having any of it. So.
Did having his sister in the tub with him help him adapt? Or did it not matter if she was there or not?
Doesn't really matter.
It saves water for you, right?
It saves water and it saves time.
Last thing. You were back online for the most part in the last couple. Did you buy any Prime Day stuff?
I did not.
Does it do anything for you?
No. But I.
They were all real techie deals.
Yeah. So.
And it did force places like Target and some other places to do some sales, which was nice as well. It was like a little Black Friday in the middle of summer.
Right.
But I always think about people who clamor and scream, shop local, shop local, shop local. And they like to beat their chest that they do. And then sometimes I see these same people, or I envision these people being Walmart shoppers
right.
as well. And it's disingenuous and hypocritical.
Right.
What's your personal philosophy? Because look, we all want to try to shop local because we live, these people are in our community. What's your personal philosophy when it comes to, that's a great deal online, but I could go here and get it, or how do you go about it? How do you guys as a family do it?
I think for the most part, I tend to be a pretty, when I want something, like I want it right then and there.
Right.
And so I tend to be someone that's more likely to purchase something in a store.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's a local store or a bigger store, it doesn't matter. Just mm-hmm. whichever is going to have the item that I want. Because I'm also pretty picky when it comes to things. Like if I get something in my head, then that's the thing that I want, and I'm not going to settle for something other than that.
Mm-hmm.
But then if we're just kind of Jim and I are talking about things that we need, then we'll just put it into an Amazon order.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I do it when I try to buy the local stuff and, mm-hmm. and frequent them when I can. Right. But I'm like you. If I want something, I want it right there. And then if I know that most of the items that I buy, it's food stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of times, the stuff's more expensive for locally grown stuff as opposed to like when I go to Fresh Time. Or if there's an item that I want to get.
Mm-hmm.
Specialty peanut butter or something like that.
Right.
Might be, and we're talking only a dollar here, but like it might be a dollar cheaper at the so-called big box store than it is at some local spot.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I think ultimately, psychologically speaking, doesn't it all come down to money anyway? We
yeah.
let money make our decisions.
I think for the most part, yeah. I mean, but I'll spend more money so that I can have something now and I'll drive and I'll get it instead of waiting, 2 days on Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it depends on where you're financially at.
No, I agree. I agree. And when you actually might need something.
Mm-hmm.
I always calculate it and my brain goes into hyperdrive with it. But it goes back to me with my mom before I could drive. And my mom would drive farther to save money on gas. And it just didn't work in my mind's calculator.
Right. Absolutely.
So I apply that to almost like everything. It's like, yes, I'm going to go over here and maybe shop local, but it's going to cost me a little bit more and then I'm out of the way. And then you could factor time into this as well.
Absolutely.
I guess it's just really the people who get me who like, they're like, I only shop local. Yeah, but I just saw you at Starbucks.
Right. Which is not a local joint.
Local people work there. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And tip, if you're ever up mm-hmm. at the Target on Monroe.
Okay.
Apparently, the drinks there are a little cheaper than the Starbucks 100 yards away.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Same thing. One thing I got was $3.15 at the Starbucks. At the Starbucks in the Target, it was like $2.85.
Really? Hmm.
And being in my employment situation, I have to watch my 15 cents here and there.
Says the guy that buys multiple $100 shoes.
I don't even want to tell you about what happened today.
What did you buy today?
Happened again. Got the notification from the Nike app and...
Another pair of shoes?
Another pair.
How much?
I don't want to tell you.
Well, Barry's going to find out.
No, he's never going to get to this podcast. And besides, it's either worse or better. Some of these I've never worn and could flip them to and at least get my money back.
Well, then why don't you flip them?
I like collecting. I mean, people collect stamps. I collect Transformers and shoes. I mean, look, those are the only two places where my...
Well, now you're working from 7 to 12, Monday
true.
Through Friday.
I do have a
so that'll be like, what, a month worth of paycheck?
Like 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Yeah, I do have a regular income.
There you go.
Anything else going on before we wrap up?
I don't think so.
Bullying is really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That person actually might need coping skills and they're not getting bullied.
Yeah.
And that bully might not be a bully. So
great.
Let's investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the crisis book you're reading?
Maybe Boy Crisis.
Yeah, well, give me that real fast because I would like a new book.
So it's all about, the Boy Crisis is talking about how for the longest time we have been, since the women's movement, we've been focusing on trying to empower our girls and, you know, raising our girls up. But with that, we have essentially forgotten our boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so now our boys are having major crises such as suicide and other mental health issues and homicide and being, you know, 92% of the prison populations and what else? They are, you know, choosing careers that are, you know, he refers to them as the death professions. And so the first part of the book is just
construction.
Construction, roofing, deadliest catch kind of stuff. Semi-truckers, those kind of things. He calls those like the death professions, firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gives kind of like his thought about how have guys gotten to this point? And so he...
At light speed.
We've forgotten the boys. And so right now I'm in that point where he's like just talking about kind of laying out how we've gotten here. And then he provides solutions, I think, for like parenting and other, like two other things.
Well, let's make this the start of the next podcast.
Okay.
Because there was a like 100,000 retweet about something that Henry Cavill, Superman,
mm-hmm.
said. That he did an article with like Australia GQ, and he said he felt like he was being thought of as a rapist, mm-hmm. and a racist. And this is something that has hit close to me before, and it all stems from this and Me Too over the last 6 months or so. So we'll do that next time.
Okay, sounds good.
Awesome. Give the kids kisses for me.
Will do.
Okay.
Maybe we'll see you on Friday.
Weather depending, and maybe we'll see where Trigger Meals is.
With Trigger Meals, and then we could up Pizza Palooza.
Yes.
Are you taking Cohen and Lindsay?
They might come out.
Okay.
They might come out. It might be. I am hot. I need shade.
Well, what's the weather going to be like?
He is something with he totally needs like 64 and partly sunny.
He's a fair skinned little guy.
Last story. We're walking pathetic Buddy around the block.
He loves walking Buddy.
And we just went around the block. So this is, I could do it in steps. It's about 1,000 steps.
Okay.
I guess that will resonate with people. And it was it was sunny, but not really hot and humid.
Mm-hmm.
Warm. We made it about 100 yards, and he's like, I am hot. And he, for some reason, he doesn't use contractions. It's the strangest thing. I am hot. We make it halfway around the block, and I get it. He's slowing down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was fine letting him walk Buddy, and I'm just doing my thing. And I look behind me, and he's about 50 yards back, standing under what some people might call a tree. It was tiny, but there was shade. I have a picture on my phone. I get it. He was hot, but it wasn't that hot. And I get it. That Buddy is sensitive to extremes as well.
You need to take him camping.
I kind of stuck his head in one of the splash pad fountains because he doesn't like getting his head wet.
Right.
And I might have like made it look like an accident, but I wanted him one of these bullying moments.
Right.
He didn't like that.
It's supposed to be a high of 84 and a 50% chance of rain on Friday.
Like storms or something. Mm-hmm. At least it won't be like 104 like it has been the last few Pizza Paloozas.
Yeah, so it'll be cooler.
Come out and bake at Centennial Quarry.
All right.
All right. We'll next week?
Yeah, we can do next week.
Okay, good.
Yes.
We'll figure it out. Talk to Big Jim.
I will talk to Big Jim.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.